You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another disappointed episode of the Assembly Call, as tonight your Indiana Hoosiers fall in East Lansing to the Michigan State Spartans 80-65. In a game that was really kind of the inverse of what we've seen from this team on the road, where the Hoosiers kind of got off to a decent start, but then, you know, the game really just devolved into, sloppy, fatigue-ridden, mistake-ridden basketball on a night when, you know, Michigan State came out and after a bit of a rocky start, played inspired basketball, made a lot of shots, 10 of 21 from downtown, got to a lot of loose balls, got some more rebounds, and ultimately your Hoosiers fall to 19-9 on the season, 10-7 in Big Ten play. And we're here to talk about it, so let's do it. I'm your host, Jared Morris. We got a full house. The coach, Brian Tonsoni, Ryan Phillips, Andy Bottoms, all here. And we'll start this show the way that we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And I suppose we'll use this space to give a quick hat tip to the women who claimed their outright Big Ten title today with Maryland beating Iowa. So that was nice to see. That is a true banner moment for Indiana basketball. But as far as the men's team goes tonight, you know, there obviously isn't a lot to choose from in a game like this. And so I'm going to go back to the 6:28 mark of the first half when Indiana was up 22-13. And it's hard to remember that, you know, given how the final 24 minutes of this game went. But the Hoosiers got off to a good start. You know, Jalen Huchefino was off to a good start with 6 points. He was 3 of 5 from the field. Trey Galloway had hit a three. Indiana's defense was really locked in, forcing a lot of tough twos against Michigan State. And that's something that we've wanted to see from this team, is better starts on the road. And they were able to do it. You'd like to see them back that up with better play after that, which didn't happen. But what happened at the 6:28 mark is Jalen picked up his second foul, and he would sit for the rest of the half, and Indiana would lose all their lead, all their momentum, a 22-7 run by Michigan State that really proved decisive there at the end of the first half, put him up 6 at halftime. You know, would it have been a different result if Jalen had played more there at the end of the first half? I don't know. But for the game, he played 30 minutes and was +4 in a game that Indiana lost by 15. So certainly that decision to sit him, while understandable given the lack of depth at the guard position for Indiana, really put the Hoosiers behind the eight ball. No one from the bench was able to step up and give Indiana much of a lift offensively, and that lead disappeared quickly, and Indiana was never able to get it back. But if you're looking for positives, at least the way that Indiana came out and started tonight was, you know, something. It's not much, but at least it's something. All right, let's talk about our presenting sponsor. Yes, our banner moment, as always, brought to you by our friends at Homefield Apparel, now in their 6th season sponsoring the Assembly Call and their 2nd as the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And, you know, Homefield Apparel's thing is they go and they pull old brand marks and logos from the past, sometimes from the deep past of colleges and universities all over the country, and they breathe new life into them by putting them on, you know, great, comfortable articles of clothing. And it's, you know, they have clothing for all seasons, whether you want t-shirts, crew necks, hoodies. Now they got quarter zips, they got hats coming, so they're really starting to expand their product line. And what's great is they're constantly expanding the designs that they have and doing refreshes. I saw they just did a refresh for Missouri. They're doing a refresh for Colorado. I think they did a refresh for Kansas. Obviously, they've already done one for Indiana, and you know there will be more coming, because as much as Homefield Apparel is catering to all these other colleges and universities, their first love is Indiana. That's what they started with. And so you know they'll have more great Indiana apparel coming soon. And for you to get that, go browse homefieldapparel.com. Use our promo code HOME, H-O-M-E, to get 15% off your first order. And you'll be happy that you did, because the stuff is so comfortable. The items are conversation starters. And you know, when you're out and about and you see someone with a Homefield shirt, there's kind of that little nod of approval that both people give to each other, which is awesome. So homefieldapparel.com, promo code HOME. That is it. They are our sponsor. Wear one for the team. All right, guys, it's time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. And Andy, we will start with you, your bottoms line on this Indiana loss.
Well, really, thanks for letting me go first. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know,
you're in the Eastern time zone before you fall asleep.
There you go. That's probably a wise move. you know, you come out and start the game well. I think we all, you know, had texted earlier that this felt like a game that if you don't get off to a good start, you get run out of the building. And so IU managed to dodge that bullet. And then, as you said, some missed opportunities even before Jalen went out. There was a segment of play that was really, really sloppy with forcing stops and then repeatedly turning the ball over. And so missed those opportunities, fall behind at the half, and even at the beginning of the second half. Just, you know, it's only a 6-point game. Can you come out and be able to get a little momentum? No, was the answer to that question. As you looked into that, really fell behind early, got into some bad habits that we've seen over the course of the season in terms of helping on, and I know Coach probably wants to talk more about this, helping on drives that weren't even happening, and getting late to close out the shooters, let Tyson Walker really get hot, let Michigan State as a team really get hot. And then you look down a lot of the what you would call hustle-related stats, and it just all paints a pretty bad picture. IU ends up with 5 offensive rebounds. I think they got a couple of those late, really were hammered on the boards, couldn't get defensive rebounds to close out possessions that led to a number of key baskets, including a couple late when IU was just hanging around. Can you get a stop and turn it into a basket? They just were unable to do that. Really struggled there. Again, struggled to find contributions from guys other than TJD and Jalen Huchefino. Trey Galloway did end up with 11, but the bench ends up with 6 points, but had 2 until some late free throws from CJ Gunn and Anthony Leal. And just, that's not, you need somebody to step up and give you that unexpected lift off the bench if you're going to come out in a really tough environment and win a road game. Just didn't have that, and the guys looked incredibly tired. TJD looked as tired as he's looked all year. Really struggled to get elevation off the floor, struggled to finish inside, missed some close shots that he normally makes, and just IU hanging around for as long as they did in the second half was maybe not the best thing for him, because he didn't really – you were never out of it enough that you could rest him, but you never really felt watching it like you were really going to be able to get back over the hump. And so, you know, he still ends up playing a number of minutes. And I think as something that we've been concerned about with this team, that came home to roost tonight on a Saturday, Tuesday turnaround. Now you got this until Saturday night, maybe a little more rest during the week is there, but the guys being leaned on so, so heavily for this many games and being able to win ugly in a few cases, just couldn't come through tonight. And if ever you needed a spark of some kind in the form of Xavier Johnson or literally anyone at this point, this would be a great time for it. And he was certainly missed tonight.
Yeah, the fatigue has been a lingering question for many shows, and that certainly continues tonight. Coach, it's Tonsoni time. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I thought they were rotten defensively tonight. I mean, just absolutely brutally bad defensively.
Go on.
And I think some of it was scheme. I think some of it was execution of the players. I think they, again, believing in that nail slot rim defense, you need guys to execute it, and they didn't execute it. There were 5 drive middle or somewhat drive, as Andy says, sometimes just one bounce and everyone's committing to the ball, and one pass kick out threes, and then they were driving those closeouts and getting fouled. And that's what happened at that 6-minute mark that you talked about in your banner moment, is then they got hot, then in an emotional game, they found their footing. So some of it was scheme, some of it was just flat-footed, whether it's fatigue or whatever, but the players did not guard at all. Offense was unimaginative tonight. It was a bunch of hero ball, one-on-one, try to get yours. There just was not a whole lot of movement. I think the difference was Michigan State started moving the ball about the 6-minute mark and finding open guys and running stuff to get the ball from side to side, and Indiana stopped and didn't move the ball. The ball stuck tonight. It was dribble up, crab dribble, shoot a contested 2, throw it in the post, and then turn it over because we were confused on whether there's a double team. It was just a bad performance on offense and defense. And then the sad thing is, the way this team is run right now, you have to have TJD be incredible, and you have to have Huchefino be at least average or better than average. When those two are bad, and bad for them is you know, average, they can't be average. And tonight I thought both of those guys were average, because right now no one else – nothing else is run for anyone else, or no one else on the bench is contributing offensively. And that's why Indiana's been in the 60s lately in their points. Some of it is you're playing good teams and good coaches, but now's the time you're going to have to figure that out and get back in the 70s. So just an all-around poor performance tonight, but there's a lot of things that need to be looked at going forward as you're going to play a real tough opponent Saturday and then have two, you know, hungry teams coming into Assembly Hall at the end of the year fighting for position or tourney selection.
Yep, well said. All right, Ryan, time to rant. Go.
I think it was obvious to everybody watching this game that Indiana looked like a tired team. They look like a team who, and I think in the beginning they came out, it was adrenaline. I think it was a big moment. I think on the flip side, Michigan State was tight to start the game. And given everything that's happening there, that's understandable. But they had some wide open looks that were airballed or that were just way off. And I think it was, you know, with the expectations of the moment, you know, wanting to come out and do too much, I think they were real tight. And I thought Indiana was kind of loose, riding on adrenaline. And as that wore off at about the 10 through 13 minute mark of the first half, you saw what this team is right now. And that defense you're talking about, Coach, there was no communication. There was no focus. They just lost it. And those are signs of a tired, fatigued team. I'm not trying to make excuses for them because they didn't play well. But when you're tired and fatigued, you make more mistakes. And if you look at the minute, and Trace Jackson Davis, by the way, couldn't get off the ground tonight. He looked like he was loping up and down the court as best he could. He was trying. But, I mean, there were drives that normally he is contesting that shot, blocking it easily. He couldn't get up to block shots tonight. And if you look at his minutes over the last 6 weeks, since the new year, essentially, you got 40, 33, 33, 35, 39, 39, 33, 39, 39, 39, 40, 39, and 37 in a row. That's too much. And I know Mike Woodson said, hey, when I was playing, I did that. Well, Mike, it's a different game. There's a lot more up and down now, and you're relying on this guy to do everything on both ends of the floor. You're going to wear him out, and he looked worn the hell out tonight. And, you know, we said it at the beginning of the year because we thought there was a stretch last year where it looked like he hit a wall. Now, he came back in the Big Ten tournament and at the end of the season and made a great run when he got some more wind, and I think that just the sense of urgency carried him. But we saw this happen last year. And the same thing looked like it happened tonight. He just looked like no matter how hard he tried, he just didn't have it. And I thought some other guys looked that way. I thought Jalen in stretches looked that way. I thought Trey Galloway looked that way in stretches. And Trey Galloway was leaving guys open from three, just not being focused defensively, off ball. On ball, I thought he did as well as he could in those situations. He kept guys in front of him, and guys were pulling up and hitting threes. You can't from deep, can't do anything about that. But on your rotations, if you're not focused, with this defense, with the way the system is, if you're not focused, it's going to be like Penn State, and guys are going to be wide open from three, and they were unfocused tonight. It's a sign of a tired team, and they need to find ways to get other guys going. I know that this bench is not providing much for you. You have to find somebody who can eat some minutes for these guys at some point, at this point in the season. And honestly, they were down 10, and as Andy said, there was no chance they were going to win this game. I absolutely think that they should have just sat Trace the last 10 minutes. I mean, or the last 8 minutes or whatever it was, just to get him off his feet. So this is a tired team. It looked like an exhausted team, a Saturday to Tuesday turnaround and a brutal environment. And it's catching up to them, and they need to do something about it.
You know, and on the one hand, it is understandable. You know, you're trying to win games, and the formula that you've created for this team, or that has been created in part because of the loss of Xavier Johnson, is you have to rely on these two guys so much. But, you know, this comes back, you know, and so to finish that point, you kind of understand why he's playing so many minutes against Michigan and playing so many minutes against Northwestern. Absolutely. To try and win that game. But that is going to catch up to you. And so this is where, at what point do you try and change the formula? Right, Coach? And so one of the things that we were talking about before we came on air is, can we get guys other shots? And I know, you know, beating a dead horse, it's, you know, we've been saying this over and over again, but you've got a guy in Miller Kopp who's shooting, you know, 46% from three-point range and takes three shots. You know, you got to get that guy more shots. The bench obviously just didn't provide much at all. You know, Malik scored the 2 points, you know, in the second half that actually got Indiana to within five And we'll talk about that in meaningful moments. But Tamar Bates just unable to do anything. You know, I said in the last show he was my pick to click. He'd had two straight good games against Michigan State, and he just wasn't able to even get involved, you know, and doesn't, you know, he had the one shot, you know, which was actually a nice cut when Trace found him. He just wasn't able to finish. And otherwise, I mean, he's just not able to get in the rhythm of the offense at all. So, you know, coach, as you look at this, what are some things Indiana can do to try and change this formula a little bit? Because, you know, and maybe they can't. Maybe this is the formula for the rest of the season. But I think you see on a night like tonight, you know, is this really preparing us for the end of the season?
Yeah, you know, it's just a good question because we've been talking about, do you get other people shots? And the obvious question is that's not being done. So I would think that Coach Woodson, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get heavy ball screen with your point guard and has the freedom to take some shots. And your post player is going to get a ton of touches. And then everyone else is just going to live off those doubles and rotations from those two things. That's what Coach Woodson believes in. That's what's won a lot of games. You know, we got to remember that it's won some basketball games. So one loss doesn't mean you kind of got to go away from everything. But I do think, you know, we get to the lingering question early. I do think in order to make a deep run, you need a variety of ways to score. And right now, what is it, five games in a row in the 60s? And whenever KenPom, we've been at a high of 17, which was really good, improved from last year, but that's steadily been dropping. Is that the offense or is that the defense of the good teams we're playing stopping that? But regardless, then it's a game of adjustments. What are you going to do?
Andy, you have comments on this.
I couldn't possibly, Ryan. Ryan's so excited. He's making wild hand gestures. I can't do it.
I love seeing him squirm.
This will be quick. No, what Coach said is, you know, you've won a lot of games with the system, so you don't want to upend it at this point. You don't have to upend it. Just tweak it. Add a couple things here and there, and it changes the game. And look, Miller Kopp tonight, 2 of 3 in the first half from three. Hit drain two. And then one of them was like almost out of bounds and he nailed it. And then his third on a perfect reversal rimmed out. But it was online. It was a little long. It happens. You know, you're not going to make all your threes, even when you're wide open. He didn't shoot in the second half because they didn't get him any open opportunities. None. When you're getting bombed from three from the other team and you can't counter that, you're asking to lose, particularly on the road. Now, you've gotten away with road games not making threes before, but you also didn't have your best version of Trace Jackson Davis tonight. You need to find something else and just continuing to do the same thing and not running a cross screen for Miller, not running a pin down, not doing something. I mean, Trey Galloway's out there like, you know, firing threes because he's the only one who has any room to do anything. And so it's not that you need to upend the system. The system has gotten you to this point. And kudos to Mike Woodson for doing a great job with this team, especially with their point guard injured. One of their point guards injured, but you still have to do work. You know, people are going to adjust to what you're doing and they've done it and everyone's going to hard double Trace this now. So you got to find other ways to score and other people to score. And if Trace has had so many minutes that he's worn down, you're going to have to involve other people. And you've got a guy who shoots 45% from three. Jay Billis called the best shooter in the Big Ten tonight. And you get him three shots in the entire game. And this wasn't a night where Miller was getting looks and pump faking and not doing it. He just didn't get the ball. And so you've got to do something. And again, it's not upending the system. It's tweaking what you're doing to adjust to what people are throwing at you defensively. It's not hard. And the solutions are pretty easy and obvious.
It was interesting tonight. It seemed like early in the game, Coach, you probably track this better than me, but you know, early in the game, they really came at him with the post double. They got a good look for Race early. They got a second good look that Race just wasn't able to finish inside. Then they saw Michigan State adjust and he threw a nice skip pass. And eventually they really stopped doubling him as hard from the post. They did a little bit from the perimeter. And it was almost like IU didn't know what to do when he wasn't getting double teamed at times. They went back to it a little bit late, but you know, even coming out of the locker room, he gets a shot inside that's just, I mean, a shot he converts 9 times out of 10 and just was unable to do it. It seemed like in some ways not doubling him actually rattled IU more because they weren't able to get the clean looks that they got early in the game. They backed off that a little bit and just kind of forced him to try to score on his own, walled up, made things tough on him. And on a night when he wasn't very explosive, that was effective. And the reality was that at that point, they didn't run as many ball screens. It didn't feel like with him. And there was very little action going to the rim to drive anything. I mean, even if you compare it to Michigan State, you know, some of these drives, they aren't even drives. Guy gets 1 foot inside the 3-point line and the help side guy drops into the paint and can't recover out to the shooter. And so you see how much stress that can put on a defense, whereas even the threat of a drive. Now, granted, that's partly schematic on IU's part, but it was very little for IU that was really getting to the basket to even try to draw attention to kick out to Kopp. And when you took the doubles away, they just hugged up on him and he couldn't really get the ball. It just, odd as it seems, it would feel like them giving TJD more single coverage would be a good thing for IU. It seemed to really throw them off, which credit to Izzo on the one hand, but also, you know, not a great look for IU to not be able to kind of take advantage of something that you think that they would want more often than not.
TJD was predetermining what was going on, and he was a step slow at predetermining, and he wasn't explosive in his spin moves. He wasn't catching and going right away. Whether maybe that was part of the, he was expecting the double, and then when the double didn't come, but there were times where he caught it and just,
at one point,
he just got rid of it. Like, he didn't want any part of it. The one where he tried to kick, why would you kick out to Race when you had the wide open middle? That goes back to Ryan's comment about, I think he's fatigued, and he wasn't himself.
Make seven turnovers if he's himself.
Yes, because Andy, you're absolutely right. As soon as they start single coverage, we've seen what Trace can do at Illinois. When they single covered him, he just went off and won that game. That normally happens, and for whatever reason, you know, Trace didn't have it tonight with seven turnovers and some missed shots and just that lack of explosiveness in there. And then, as far as, you know, the offense goes, you know, they ran good stuff to start the game, and they run good stuff after timeouts. And I think to start the second half, I stopped tracking it a little bit in the second half, they were moving Kopp and they were moving people, stuff that we've always asked. It seems as the game goes on, in the free flow of the game, they don't make calls on the fly. Like, on a rebound coming down, there's not going to be, you know, Kansas or Tennessee or whatever play call. They're just going to let the play run, which is going to be a ball screen or a post feed. And as the game goes on, they go away from stuff that they kind of plan ahead of time. I think their game planning isn't bad, but I've always clamored for a little more thumb on the offensive calls to get the kind of actions where you could still go into the post, because they have some good stuff that they run. I just don't think they run it enough. And at a time tonight when the coaching staff on the other end had your number and was playing games with TJD, that's when you got to go into your book and call stuff to help young guys out, because you got a freshman point guard, you got some bench players who are trying to do whatever they can, and coach just doesn't do a good job of that. That's the one area where I think he needs to get better. Everything else is great. We're going to make the tournament. But it's an honest criticism that we need to have a few more things run at key times of the game
to stay in games. That's the thing right there. When you're getting smoked in a stretch, run something different to get a bucket, you know, to maybe staunch a run or stop the bleeding, you know, like that's all you need. You don't have, I'm not saying, you know, run the whole offense around Miller Kopp's shooting ability. You know, that's not it. But be able to call for it every once in a while when you need to get a three, when they've hit three in a row, you know, and you need to get one back to silence the crowd or something. You got to be able to do that and call on that. And you're right, coach. They've run good action before. It's a matter of, like, trusting it and relying on it when you need it.
Well, there was a lot of times it felt like, you know, we talked about being able to get a lot of baskets out of timeouts. That was not the case tonight. It didn't feel like, to me at least. There were times when you kind of expected that early second half timeout. They came out and just took either a long two or a real early shot clock three from Jalen, I think, without really trying to do a whole lot else. And you know, you look at the seven turnovers from TJD, but then you look at the assist. He had half of IU's 10 assists, and the two starting guards who played a ton of minutes had two combined. And I think that speaks to not really being able to get anything flowing offensively in any way that is drawing the defense and finding open people. And that's pretty reflective of what a slog it was on offense.
Yep. All right, coming up here as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's 15-point loss to Michigan State, we'll point out tonight's meaningful moments you might have missed, and then we'll go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game. You're listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, it's Romeo Langford. What's the only thing better than hitting a game winner to beat Wisconsin? Celebrate it with friends afterwards. Join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on Assembly Call after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
Thank you, Romeo. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris here with the whole crew, the coach Brian Tonsoni, Ryan Phillips, and Andy Bottoms. We are breaking down Indiana's loss to Michigan State, and it's the top of segment two, so you know what that means. Yes, it is time for tonight's meaningful moments that you might have missed, brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience Indiana University athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. And, you know, guys, I think it's worth saying, you know, as we kind of set the context for this game, you know, just it's a difficult spot for Indiana to go into and play from a basketball sense. Now, the truly difficult spot is what, you know, Michigan State students and everybody in that city are dealing with, you know, after a senseless tragedy, you know, that rocked their city and their campus. And this was their first home game back. And so you knew that it was going to be an emotional arena. You know, I appreciated the fact that Indiana wore the Spartan Strong shirts. I appreciated it that Michigan did that. I think it's awesome, you know, to see, even though we have rivalries and we have games that need to be played, there are more important things than that. And the great thing about sports, even though it can't heal hearts and, you know, reverse a tragedy, it can give us all a shared experience, and that's meaningful. But within the context of this game, that meant that this, you know, winning in the Breslin Center is going to be hard anyway. You know, I thought winning tonight in an emotionally charged arena was going to be extra hard, and it proved to be. And so I don't really think any of us are that surprised or even disappointed in the loss. I think a lot of us kind of expected it, to be honest. But I do think that there are, as we've talked about so far, some things about how Indiana played that are worth dissecting for what they mean, you know, here as we move forward. But I do think the context of this game is important for kind of understanding, you know, just kind of the emotional charge that Michigan State ended up playing with, you know, which really helped them on the glass and getting loose balls and all the things that they did once they kind of got going. But as we look at meaningful moments, you know, I thought in the second half, ironically, you know, the one meaningful bench bucket that Indiana got was Malik Renew's, you know, little jump hook that cut it to 53-48. And, you know, that was really kind of
the
one point
on the bench.
Right. Well, that was the one point in the second half where it kind of looked like Indiana was going to make a little run. They had taken Trace out to give him a little breather before the TV timeout. Caleb Banks was in there. And it was, I mean, it was a weird lineup. It was Jalen Huchefino, Trey Galloway, Caleb Banks, Malik Renew, and Race Thompson. And so Indiana gets it to five. They play great defense the next possession, but Tyson Walker goes and hits that fadeaway at the end of the shot clock, which put him back up seven. It was really a backbreaker, and that led to an 8-0 run. And I kind of felt like he kept that lineup out there a little bit too long, honestly. It's like you got a couple good possessions with him. That's probably about all you're going to get. You know, now that's the point. Let's get, you know, the guys back in. Let's try and do something here. You know, but then once Michigan State pushed it back out with that 8-0 run, it was basically over from there. I mean, I think Indiana got it to 9 at one point, had a transition opportunity that they weren't able to take, you know, because they turned it over. So that was really the one kind of point there in the second half where it looked like Indiana might get a little bit of momentum. And, you know, look, credit to Walker. I mean, he's one of the best tough shot makers in the conference, and he made tough shots all night long. So sometimes you got to tip your cap to the opponent. But that really seemed to kind of take the wind out of Indiana's sails, and they were never able to recover.
Yeah, because right after that, I had jotted that down as well. You know, right after that, Jalen comes down, kind of takes a bad shot early in the shot clock. There's a media timeout, I think, shortly thereafter. Michigan State comes out and scores right out of that. And then there was a play, you know, from IU where, you know, bad pass gets deflected. They end up with the ball, but it was definitely a case where I think it was the one where the Michigan State guy dove on the floor. There were multiple opportunities for IU to dive on the floor for loose balls tonight, and I don't think it happened maybe once or twice. I think Banks did once and Kopp maybe.
Leal did at the possession. End once he got in.
But there was, it was just, you know, that was, to me, was kind of a microcosm. Even though IU ends up getting the ball, I think that ended up being the possession where Malik Schott got swatted back into Caleb Banks's face, which was also a pretty good representation of the game in general, I would say, at that point. And then you foul after that, and you're down 11, basically before you even blink, with a couple bad possessions, letting them get what they want, you know, offensively, and then putting them on the free throw line. So just, I think even then, even after that, the lead pushed up even more because Huchefino took a three, get a stop. Galloway misses a three, and then you give up a drive to Hogard. So it just, that stretch to me, it was one of those where it was like, it was the only time I started to think like, was this just another like ugly win where this team finds a way to chip away? And then quickly found out the answer to that question was a resounding no.
No. You know, Coach, the other thing that I saw toward the end of the game, and it was just a small little thing. You know, it was after Leal had come in and Indiana got a transition opportunity and Jalen had it. And Leal was wide open on the wing calling for the ball. And Jalen, you know, took it in, took kind of a wild shot. I think he actually made it. But something I've noticed with him, and, you know, look, I think Jalen's been terrific. He's a freshman, you know, who's, you know, trying to kind of navigate, I think, kind of a difficult role to be in where he's really counted on to be a scorer, but also needs to be a creator. He seems to, you know, really hyper-focus on getting the ball to Trace, and he certainly is looking for his shot, which he needs to do. It does seem like he misses guys open on the perimeter that, you know, like last season, it seems like a pass that X would make. And that, you know, seems like something that is hurting Indiana getting more three-point shots up to, at least to my eye. And that's why I wanted to bring it up to you to see if that's something that you've noticed as well. I saw it in transition a couple of times, and it just seems like when we get in the half court, it's so focused on getting the ball to Trace, and Jalen is so focused on looking for his shot that he doesn't always see what's going on in the perimeter when a guy does get open.
Or maybe when you're coached when you're coached that way, that's what you're going to do. I mean, You're not looking for the three-point shooter. Because we're not here to get Miller Kopp threes. That's been said in the press conference. We're here to get Trace Jackson Davis the ball, and then we're here for the point guard to shoot. That's the Indiana offense. Now, I thought he did that early in the year where he would dribble down and find Kopp in transition.
Excellent. So maybe that's a lot too.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the things Huchefino did really well at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's why it's noticeable that we're not seeing it as much now.
He's scoring that
you're
more.
Not seeing it. Yes, he's being asked to score more.
And the options seem to be that pull-up jumper or getting it to Trace off the pick and roll. And if there's not pick and roll, it's throw it into the block and we'll get a kick out off the block. Like that. I mean, those are the two default sets of the offense. It is what it is. I mean, Mike Woodson's talked about it. Like you said, it's a situation where, you know, the offense's job isn't to get Miller Kopp shots. And Miller Kopp knows that too. That's why he's not forcing contested shots when some people, you know, have complaints about that. He's done more lately, but in general, he doesn't force contested shots because he knows a contested shot for me is not a contested shot for Trace. You know, it's different. And so he's going to pass those up. But that's just what the system is right now. And they're playing to the system. Now, I agree. I think Huchefino should be looking you know, for that, especially when you're down 10 on the road and they're bombing threes at you, you need to start looking for your other guys, especially when, I mean, it was obvious to anybody in that arena that Trace didn't have it tonight. I had a friend there who's texting me. He's like, yeah, he just looks like he doesn't have it tonight.
It's interesting because I think Jalen takes some shots that I wouldn't approve of, but I do think they're okay in the Indiana system. I think we saw that with X a little bit last year, and when X finally got it, he became a high assist guy. And I think Hood Shafino was a high assist guy. Now he's going back to that. I got the green light, and he's trying to now he needs to figure out how to have the green light and be an assist guy, a major. You know, when X was good last year, he finally started scoring and throwing that out. But they've done that in the last few games where they've hit the lift off the screen and roll. So I don't know that it's that bad, but I think in huddles it's like go get yourself some. I think that's it's we've talked about it all the time. It's just NBA. Draw double teams or draw a hedge or a hard trap on a ball screen, get 2-on-1 and move the ball. And then drive off of that or score off of that. That's NBA basketball. And that's what Coach Woodson has done for 30 years, and that's what Indiana's going to do while Coach Woodson is the coach. Now, he started moving players to still get the ball inside or still get a ball screen action type stuff. He doesn't move players to get them action, but I haven't noticed it, Jared, to be honest with you, other than in Hood Shafino taking some shots that I think are really forced, but I think he's encouraged to.
Well, I think that's
my guess would be he's encouraged to.
I think that's the larger point. And again, I don't say this as a criticism of him as much. I think that's the spot he's in. That's the role that he's in.
Right.
He's really, and I think he's realized this. Like, he has to score. And so I think, especially
if he doesn't,
with a freshman,
who else is going to?
Right. And this is, you know, I think part of the issue too now is with the bench guys consistently struggling. You know, you wonder, you know, if a guy like Jalen, as he looks at this, it's like, we've got to score. Well, I'm the best option to take the shot because none of these other guys are really stepping it up and doing it. So, again, I don't think it's a criticism of him. I think he's in a tough spot based on what he's being asked to do, the up and down production of the other guys, you know, and it's a real rock and a hard place that the offense is in right now. Because, yeah, I mean, look, the team has done a lot of good things. Indiana's in a good position. I don't think there's, you know, this isn't a sky's falling conversation. But as you start looking forward to how can you make a run in the Big Ten tournament, how can you make runs in the NCAA tournament, now what we've seen from this offense here for a good 4 or 5 games kind of feels like they need to find another gear and get something else going. Andy, any other moments stand out to you?
I don't know that I really have any jotted down. I think Coach said he had one. Now, maybe we already hit it or not, but I'll throw it to him, and I'll look back through my notes, see if anything else comes up.
I was just going to talk a set that they ran that was really nice to begin the game, and this is what I see at the beginning of games and beginning of halves. They run stuff, and then as the game gets going, they fall back into that ball screen and post up, and they don't get creative inside the 10-minute mark, 12-minute mark. But Trace Jackson Davis had a little pin down for Hood Shafino, who curled in the lane and got a jumper to start the game. Then they went to a short roll, and TJD kicked it out for a three to Galloway. Then they hit a short roll later. So there's a lot of good things that are being done, but all of a sudden you get 6 or 7 minutes in, and it's back to the point guard taking shots and the post player, which you want because they're your best players. I get it. But they're neat. They run good stuff to start the game, and that's how they got off to a really good start. So credit to whoever, you know, got that going. But that was the moment that you might have missed because Indiana's offense was really bad in the last 24 minutes. But they really started off well because they ran good stuff. It looked like it was scripted.
Yeah, no, I was going to say it reminds me of NFL teams who script their first 15, 20 plays, you know, and it's like, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And the idea of doing that in the NFL and the NBA and college is to see how the other team reacts. And then you know what their game plan is by how they react. So, I agree with you. It does look like they are scripting plays to start games. And then once those are over, they just fall back on the old faithful of tossing it into to Trace or running the high ball screen. You're right on that short roll stuff. That has been incredibly effective for Indiana when they've done
it. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Real quick. And here's the thing. If they don't start the game doing that against Purdue on Saturday, there's something wrong because that was what they did to beat Purdue like a drum with that in the second half in that game.
And also, when they gave the ball to TJD in a high post and run their guards off a little floppy action, like the guys weren't playing. They didn't play well either. So you might have been able to call 30 plays and the guys weren't going to execute tonight for whatever for whatever reason. It was just it was just not a good game. So in fairness to the coaching staff, sometimes you can call all the stuff you want. If the players don't pass, dribble, and shoot, it's not going to work. And I think that was some of it tonight as well. But I do think there's a pattern of scripting or calling stuff. Timeout usage has usually been good. It wasn't tonight. Coming out of halftime, I think there's been some good stuff. And then in the meat of those first and second halves, it seems to just go back to a couple options. I think that's a pattern.
Yeah. Let's go inside the numbers. You know, to me, there's a couple that stand out. Obviously, the turnover number, Indiana turns it over on 20% of their possessions against a Michigan State defense that is 350th in the country in defensive turnover rate at 14.7%. You know, a lot of those just unforced. And, you know, this is where, to me, I mean, with Trace, it kind of feels like it's mental fatigue almost as much as it's physical fatigue. I mean, some of the passes, some of the decisions. I mean, it's not that he's just been playing 39-40 minutes. They're 39-40 hard minutes where he has pressure
on both ends.
And he's a big guy. Like, minutes are different for a big guy than they are for a little guy, too. So that needs to be remembered. So that number really stood out. And then Michigan State getting 10 off offense.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, on the turnovers, it's worth noting that of the starters, they had 9 turnovers. Trace had 7 of those.
Yeah.
I mean, Hutchifino only had 1 turnover. Kopp only had 1 turnover. Nobody else who started had a single turnover.
Didn't have it tonight, man.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's not like this was an epidemic across the roster. You know, it was Trace really didn't have it, turned it over 7 times. I mean, your point guard played 30 minutes and turned it over once. Now, he didn't have a great game, but this wasn't a team-wide turnover epidemic. It really wasn't.
Yeah, you know, it almost makes you wonder, I mean, you know, we've just gotten into this flow of Trace is going to play all the minutes and we never take him out. But man, this kind of felt like a game in the first half. He's struggling a little bit. It's, you know, give him 3 or 4 minutes, maybe let him sit for a little bit and kind of watch the game. And, you know, but for whatever reason, I mean, it, you know, that didn't happen. So whatever. 10 offensive rebounds against a Michigan State team that is not a vintage offensive, you know, rebounding Michigan State team. And so the turnovers kind of point to what looked like mental fatigue. And I thought the rebounding really was physical fatigue, you know, maybe mental too. But I mean, Indiana, just as we talked about, Trace with no lift, not really being physical. And boy, you're not going to win many
that
games.
Kid came in
Breslin Center doing that.
That kid came in the last 6 minutes. Hutchifino was out, that backup sit Kohler, and Kohler just really kind of dominated.
Traveled.
TJD.
Well, my favorite line of the night was he travels twice to go around Jackson Davis for a layup, and Jay Billis is like, "Wow, that's great footwork." And I think that was a
you know
sly.
What he's going to be the new Ethan Happ, that he gets a reputation for good footwork, so the refs just think that he's not traveling.
And then he buried Trace under the basket with a push in the back, and then tipped the shot in over him,
and then blocked his shot twice,
and then blocked. Well, and Joey Hauser came down all over Trace's arm on that same play to hold his arm down so Kohler could block. I mean, it was a great double team by those guys. Great job.
But that not being critical of TJD, but that's that mental fatigue and that physical fatigue of playing all 20 minutes in the first half. That just shows, because TJD's been super fantastic, and he was just average.
Especially
today,
closing halves. He's been really good closing the first half, and even when he's playing 20 minutes. But he just hit a wall, I mean, and maybe this is a one-game wall for him. Maybe he gets a couple days off, and Saturday he comes out on fire against Edie. It's a big game for both those guys with national and conference, you know, implications and all that. Maybe he comes out fine, but you just feel like at the end of the last couple games, he's looked a little tired at times. He got that lift against Illinois with that big dunk, but there were points where he's missing his free throws are flattening out at the end of games. I mean, this has been coming for a while, and I hope it's a one-game thing, but
the coaching staff knows
it. Story tonight.
Because that's why they rested him in the second half, because they haven't been resting him. They kind of knew at halftime that he was that way.
Yeah,
I
thought some of the rebounds, just to go back to him, was part of that is Kohler being able to come in and know, hey, if I commit any fouls, so what? So he's physical with him, bodies him under the basket a little bit. And Trace, even a lot of times, is athletic enough that if he doesn't have the best position, he can just go rise up and get it. He just didn't have that explosiveness off the floor. So, you know, credit to Kohler for coming in and doing that. I mean, Izzo had yelled at the referees after that charge got called, and Michigan State got called for two fouls the rest of the half. Well, three if you count the one they did intentionally. So if you're Kohler at that point, you know you can just go in and throw your weight around and see what happens. But I thought they were physical enough with him that really accentuated his fatigue in the course of the game and really got him in positions where he couldn't rebound as well as he normally would.
I love all the Twitter and chat mob tough guys that are like, mental fatigue? These guys should be able to play 40 minutes. Come on. Dude, they're not robots, man. Like, it's just not realistic.
They also have midterms, and they're flying all over the country. Like,
and Trace is a special case. Like, the load that has been on him physically, like, I don't think we've come on here for the last 12 years doing the show and talked a lot about a guy facing mental fatigue. But when a guy has the pressure on him every minute of every game like Trace does because of how this team is set up, that is going to get to you. And it is amazing how well he has played with
incredible,
with all of that on him so far. So it is not a criticism of him as much as it is that's just an accurate reflection of what our eyes are telling us.
If you had five guys averaging 10 points a game, then you're not too worried about it. But he's everything to this team. If he doesn't score 25 points and grab 10 rebounds, they're probably not winning the game. I mean, that's where we're at right now. Like, you can win without that, but a lot of other stuff's got to go right. And when you're on the road, all that stuff rarely goes right. And so, I mean,
what do people think? He just waited until now to start loafing?
He played.
Give me a break.
And if you watched him tonight, he was trying to work incredibly hard.
Yes.
Sometimes your body does not respond to what you want it to do. It's basic physiology.
Every great athlete tapers at the end of seasons for their Olympic swims or their runs or load management in the NBA. people need to take care. And if
load
not,
management?
Absolutely. The number for me is 10 threes. Michigan State, I was at a game where Michigan State had zero in a game at Illinois. And I don't know how to read all those stats, so I'm going to go to Andy. But they're like 299th in like three-point attempts to field goal attempts or whatever that is on KenPom. So that means they probably don't take a whole lot.
When you're
that open, you really have to take them.
But that putting people, it just drives me nuts that putting people in help without help being needed.
Yeah.
It's a long closeout. And people have taken advantage of that all year long.
To Penn State.
It just drives me nuts that, yes, I'm all about help and stopping the drive, but don't go to help unless you need to be in help so you can be closer to your guy in an era of at the rim and 3-point shooting. 10 threes to a team, you could tell they didn't want to shoot because in the first half they were driving every kick out. They were driving and then redriving and redriving. Like, they didn't want to take the three. And then Izzo or someone said, guys, they're giving us the three. You got to take some. Then all of a sudden they hit him, and then Walker went off because he hit him. And when you got to be careful giving people space, and then they hit shots and see it go in an emotional night. And I think that 10 threes is the number that sticks out for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Indiana shot 48% from the field and wasn't even in the game. Like, I mean, that's crazy to shoot 48% from the field on the road. And really, for the last 10, 15 minutes, it looked like they weren't going to come back and win regardless. And the reason why is defense. They couldn't stop them defensively. You know, and Michigan State scores 80, and it felt like Michigan State scored 80. You know, it wasn't one of those where you look up at the scoreboard and you're like, wow, they got eight. They wound up with 80 points. I was shocked they weren't at 80 much earlier than they were because the defense just wasn't there.
Well, and part of that is, 48% field goal percentage is fine, but effective field goal percentage is even more important. And Indiana didn't take enough threes. So we lost by 15 on a night when they made 10 threes and we made five. This is one of those games that we talked about a long time ago. Back to the exhibition games of this season. Is this team going to have the habits and be ready to make threes when the games call for it? Here we are, February 21st. This is the exact game that we were predicting and fearing. Because this is a game where Indiana needed to step up and take and make more threes when other stuff wasn't working, and they just didn't really have the ability to do it.
5 of 14.
14 threes on a night like tonight when Trace doesn't really have it down low?
They made 35% I mean,
yeah, the percentage is fine. It's been fine all season.
It's not amazing, but that's decent. You shoot, you know, more of those. And again, Galloway 3 of 5, Kopp 2 of 3. Huchefino dragged down the percentage by going 0 of 5. And of those guys, he's the one you don't want shooting 5 necessarily. You know, I mean, you want Kopp to shoot 5, 6, not 3. So, you know. Yeah.
Any other numbers? I got a number. It's
new
11,
Ken Pom numbers
at night.
Yeah, they're pretty much all bad. Although, I mean, you look down every one of these, and it's like, oh, bench points, outscored. Second chance points, outscored. You know, fast break points, only 5 to 2. So I guess that's good. You know, Michigan State, 7 steals. IU only 10 assists to 13 turnovers. Just, yeah, they're all bad.
I mean, and I come back to the one number that really stands out when you look at this is in 30 minutes for Jalen Huchefino, Indiana was +4. Sometimes when you sit a guy for that long in the first half, when you foul your own guy out in the first half, it doesn't work out well. And tonight, it really bit Indiana.
And he finishes the game with 2 fouls.
2 fouls, ladies and gentlemen. 2 fouls. Didn't pick up
plus 11. Plus 11 in 11 minutes in the first half, by the way.
Yeah, somebody made a comment about this. I saw on Twitter. I forget who it was. But, you know, last night, if you watched the Kansas-TCU game, Grady Dick, Jalen Wilson, 2 of Kansas's best players, both have 2 fouls. Self put him in with about 6 minutes left in the first half and let him play it out. And that was a huge reason why they won the game. They were losing momentum. It was a very similar situation to what was going on. Not only did he put one of them back in, he put both of them back in. And they end up getting a big road win. And
that Bill Self, he shows potential. I think he's got a future as a coach. I think he'll.
He's also a scumbag.
Yeah.
Just an all time. And he just revels.
Wow.
In it.
Okay.
I mean, he is. What? That's not a controversial thing to say. It's pretty well established fact on the record there, okay. Jared.
Yes. No. On that note, let's go on to
didn't
our
think
final
he was going
to
catch a stray on this one, did you? Here we go.
Coming up on the Assembly Call, we're going to hand out our game balls, do some Hoosier Hustle Award, discuss some lingering questions, and look ahead to what's coming up here for Indiana. That's next. Stick with us. Poor Bill Self.
I feel like he's doing okay.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's up, y'all? It's Devontae Green giving you the green light to watch Assembly Call after every IU game. Just don't listen to their opinions about shot selection. Remember, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Go Hoosiers.
I'm pretty sure Devontae would like our thoughts about shot selection right now, because we're talking about take more threes, you know?
Oh, how times have changed. Oh, how times have
changed. Come on, Devontae. We got your back, man. You're listening to the Assembly Call. You can catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game, plus every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. Also, make sure that you sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. You can join for free today at join.assemblycall.com. That's join.assemblycall.com. All right, I'm Jared Morris here with the coach, Brian Tonsoni, Andy Bottoms, and Ryan Phillips. And gentlemen, it's time for our game balls, presented by our friends at Bloom Environmental, where Allie and James and the crew help folks in southern and south central Indiana maintain healthy air quality in their home or business. You can learn more at bloomenviro.com. And when you mention this ad, you get 23% off all their testing services. That is 23% in honor of TJD. Boy, this feels like the first time in a while that... I mean, there's not a lot of great options, but at least there may be a little bit of a debate. I don't know. Who are you guys going with for your game ball? Andy, why don't you go first? I don't know.
It's always.
I trust your opinion more than these other guys.
Alphabetically. Going alphabetically.
I mean, realistically, you look at it, and TJD, for as poor as he played in the turnover column, led the team in points, rebounds, and assists. I don't know. Really, you know.
Just feels, yeah, I mean.
It doesn't feel like you should 10
minutes
it
played.
Him.
And
yeah, it doesn't really
field goals
feel like,
made.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like you should give it to him, but.
I think, well.
I mean, I guess I'll go with Jalen because he had 16 and was the, you know, one of the only guys with a positive number, and as you said, really was the guy who, when he was on the court, gave you some sense of hope. But you could effectively talk me out of virtually anyone who would be in contention for this tonight.
All right, that's fair. Ryan, who gets your game ball?
I was actually perusing the chat real quick just to see if anybody's jumping out at anybody in there. Somebody said Galloway. I'm like, the way he defended, I can't. How many threes were hit on Trey Galloway's head tonight? I just can't. It's not an effort thing. I think he wasn't off ball. He wasn't closing out.
Yeah, that was where I leaned, but I couldn't do
his off ball defense was atrocious. And we've seen it on the road from him a couple times. I mean, it's never an effort problem with Trey. It's just a focus thing. On ball, I thought he was pretty good, and Walker just drops him on his head. I mean, you know, and that happens to you sometimes. I thought about Jalen. But Trace, the 7 turnovers hurt him, but still, he was the only thing that they had going for a while. I give it to him. I mean, in a night where it's kind of like, I thought Huchefino won it based on his first half, but then the second half, he kind of struggled. So I'll give it to Trace for 19-7-5. And the 7 turnovers, I mean, some of them I can't really blame him that much on because they were just putting everything on his shoulders, and sometimes he was trying to figure out what to do with it. So I'll give it to Trace, but it's kind of I don't know.
Yeah. Coach?
I'm giving it to Galloway. He didn't play very good defense, but it's more position. He was in the right position of where Coach wanted him, and he had long closeouts, and he was a step slow of reacting off of the help, which didn't help. But I also thought he was aggressive offensively with his shot, which is something we're going to need. He was 3 of 5 from 3, had double figures, didn't turn the ball over, and I think just played hard. And in a night when your best players were average and they get stats because of volume, they weren't very good. Huchefino wasn't very good, and Trace Jackson Davis wasn't very good. Love him, and we're going to need him, and he's going to carry us to a lot more wins this year. But we've praised him all year. He was not very good, and whether that's fatigue or whatever else, but he was very, very average tonight. And I just can't give a game ball to players who I think should have played better. Galloway should play better defensively, yes, but I thought he played better than expected offensively, and in a night when I don't really want to give a game ball, period, I'm leaning towards Galloway.
So we've got one vote for Trace, one vote for Jalen, one vote for Galloway. I'm kind of like you, Coach. It's a hard one to pick. I'm going to give it to Jalen because he was the one guy who was positive plus minus. You know, he didn't shoot well from three-point range, but he was efficient inside the line. 6 for 8, made all of his free throws, and I think critically only had one turnover in 30 minutes of play, you know, on the road, which he avoided a lot of the really bad turnovers. I don't think he made great decisions in transition. And so even though those weren't turnovers, you know, had some that weren't great decisions. But I'm going to give it to him just because I thought, you know, his play was probably the most impactful, you know, based on how the team played with him on the court. And I know there's a lot of factors that go into that, but probably not worth wasting a whole lot more time trying to figure out who gets a game ball for a 15-point loss. So it goes to Jaylen, and that is his third game ball of the season. And now that brings us to the Hoosier Hustle Award. The Hoosier Real Hustle Award.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, reminding you to check out our friends at Evansville Security Services. Based in the hometown of IU legend Calvert Cheney, Evansville Security Services has been providing off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals since 2001. In other words, they're in the business of prevention and peace of mind. And remember, prevention cannot be measured. To learn more about how Evansville Security Services can help you preserve your peace of mind by preventing bad outcomes, visit EvansvilleSecurityServices.com. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com.
All right, thank you, Anthony. And Anthony Leal got some minutes tonight. Got out there, played, did some hustling, getting on the floor like he always does. Played that tough man-to-man defense there with about 15 seconds left while Michigan State was just trying to dribble it out. But you got to appreciate that from Anthony. We'll go in reverse order this time. Coach, we'll start with you. Who gets your hustle award?
Was there hustle? I just watched 2 hours. I saw a flat basketball team. I think there was effort. They played hard, but I don't know that anyone hustled. I can't remember. I remember Caleb Banks kind of going for an offensive rebound that I thought he wasn't going to get, and I was kind of happy with that. And
Renew had Leal played like that. Yeah.
But other than that, I thought it was kind of
one example of hustle is Caleb Banks kind of going after a rebound.
He also took a ball right off his face. I kind of
face.
By the way,
he took a charge as well. I mean,
he did on Hauser, and
he was moving.
Izzo lit Hauser up for that though, because it was careless. But the other,
that second one was a charge.
Yeah, that one was
The first one, Renew is moving Renew big time.
No, the did you see the play where it went off of Banks' face and it went right to Renew's lap? He was in bounds, and they called him out of bounds.
Yes, he was.
They showed the replay, and it was like his foot was out of bounds for a second. And he completely reestablished himself and caught the ball, and nobody said anything. I was like, that is one of the most obvious calls I've ever seen missed. He was a foot, like, he was at least 8 inches in bounds. So, anyway.
Everybody was ready to go home at that point.
Yeah, I know. It's fine.
I'm not the right guy in a game like this to give a hustle award, so I'm going
to just give it to Galloway. He played hard.
I already picked him.
But he didn't get the so you can give it to him again.
I don't think you can pick the same guy. Coach is a man of integrity.
I don't think that's right.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought if he didn't actually get
thank
the
you,
game
Andy.
Ball, then you could. Okay. All right. Fine. Fine.
Thank you. Okay. I feel respected. That's pretty nice. Well done, I'm giving Andy. It to Anthony Leal.
Okay.
Anthony Leal probably hustled in practice this week, and he got some run in a game where no one else was hustling, and he reads the award. I'm going Anthony Leal.
Okay, Anthony Leal gets it. He got a floor burn tonight, you know. So
absolutely, he dove on the floor.
All right, Andy.
That was actually me. But
I know, Andy.
You're going to your
over to you. I mean,
someone's getting cranky late.
Goodness gracious. I mean, this is one I struggle with as well. I mean, I thought Banks did some good things. I'm going to go with him. We talked about a few of the effort plays that he made. I guess I'll say that.
Yeah, I thought all those guys at the end. CJ got in there and hustled. That was
nice. Even Banks,
see.
When he got in the first half, I thought gave a bit of a – or maybe that was the second half when he came in. But I thought he gave a little bit of a spark. And So I'll go with him.
I'll agree. I'll go with Caleb Banks. I think he gave us a lift. I'd like to see a little more of him. Maybe move Race to the five for some stretches, or Renew to the five and put Caleb at the four and spread him out. I'd like to see some more of that. I think his energy is helpful to Indiana.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a vote in for Trey, who I did, you know, while he struggled some defensively. I mean, you know you're always going to get an honest effort and hustle from Trey. So I'm going to give it to him. But obviously Caleb gets it, and I think Caleb was a deserving recipient. Well, that's his first hustle award. He didn't get a hustle award for the Ohio State game? Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So as we look at lingering questions, you know, I thought it was very interesting what Mike Woodson did with his bench in the second half, which is you're down and you probably need some outside shooting, and you have a guy who's shooting 40% who played 13 minutes in the first half and Tamar Bates, and he doesn't get off the bench in the second half. You know, instead, basically it looked like Woodson, you know, kind of said, we're going to go with hustle. You know, guy, you know, Caleb Banks, who I know is, you know, going to get out there and kind of play hard. And, you know, then obviously later on, the game was decided at that point, but, you know, brings Leal in, brings CJ in. You know, look, we've all been hoping for more production from Tamar Bates, and it's just not coming. And it seems like that second half may have been a tipping point for the coach. I mean, and not even playing him at all. Now we'll have to see, you know, maybe that rotation goes back to normal in the Purdue game, but that jumped out at me and seemed noticeable that he played so much in the first half and did not see the floor at all in the second half. What does that mean for this rotation going forward? I mean, I think at this point, you know, look, obviously, you know, I was there, you know, trying to will, will good, you know, good play into existence, making him my pick to click, but it's just not happening right now. And I'm not sure what it's going to take. And it, you know, it may well be, coach, that Tamar just isn't a good fit for this type of offense and would function better in an offense where he can be kind of a volume scorer and get his rhythm going. But that's not what this offense is. And so for whatever reason, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of factors at play here. He's just not getting the production, and he hasn't found a way to make it work in the system he's in, which ultimately is, you know, his responsibility to do. So I'm really interested to see what happens with that moving forward.
Yeah, I thought he really struggled tonight, and it's just it's tough to watch because, you know, you want him to do well. You want Indiana to do well, but he was lost again defensively and offensively. He misses that little pull-up in the lane, wasn't ready to shoot that. Yeah, he wasn't very productive in his minutes, and you can understand why, you know, coach wouldn't play him. And to me, it's a bigger lingering question, guys, is the bench developing or is it regressing as the season goes on? And is that on the players or is that something the coaching staff needs to do better? We obviously have no clue. We're not in there. But as the season's going on, the bench production is falling to the wayside. And it's really putting pressure on Woodson to play his starters, which then gets the fatigue. And so it's a tough question. If players aren't playing well, you're not going to get some run. But why aren't they playing well? You know,
Jordan didn't play in the second half either, I don't think, did he?
Geronimo's struggled down the stretch.
Right at the end.
Banks is not playing as well as he has. Or not Banks, but I mean Bates. Those two. And we've lost X. So, you know, you've lost good pieces of rotation where a coach, I don't blame Woodson for riding his starters heavy. And the solution is you get X back. If X can play some level of minutes at some level of his past production, that's what those minutes will probably go to when and if he can come back.
Yeah, one thing on this is there are just the Big Ten is so loaded in the middle this year that there aren't blowout games unless you're playing Nebraska twice. Or I mean, there aren't those games where you can we're up.
Nebraska's got seven wins now.
Don't be smirch Nebraska. Minnesota I think is the team you want to use.
Okay, fine. Minnesota, whatever. But no,
Ohio
State's a good call, yeah. But, I mean, there aren't those games where you're going to get a 20-point lead and you can use it to get your guys minutes. That's why, as we said earlier in the year, you got to get these guys minutes early on because the Big Ten's too tough to do that some years, and this has turned out to be a year where there's just no off nights. And so you don't have a chance to maybe let those guys extend their run if – you're in a game and it gets tight and they're in, they're coming out, you're bringing your starters back in. And so it's a symptom of the schedule as well. And Indiana has pulled the card on a very difficult schedule this year. And it seemed that way before the season and for different reasons, because some of the teams that we expected to be good did not turn out to be that good. And some of the, you know, they had the hardest schedule at the beginning and it turns out they're gonna have the hardest schedule at the end more than likely because of, you know, teams that have gotten better. So it is that catch 22 of you got to get these guys some production, but if they're not giving you production, it could cost you a game. You got to stick your other guys back in. And so but you're not going to develop them if you don't play them. We've said that for years. If you don't play them minutes, they're not going to get better. And so it is a catch 22 for the coaching staff, 100%.
Yeah, and I think when you look at it, there really isn't one guy on there that you know what you're going to get on a regular basis. I think Renew is probably as close to that as you have right now, and even he's been inconsistent. So you end up throwing darts at a bunch of guys, but the way the offense works, nobody who goes in is going to get that many opportunities to really do anything or get into all that much of a flow in the game. And so then, like you just said, Ryan, then you pull the ripcord pretty fast to go get everybody else back in the game. And so it becomes a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're not running stuff for guys who come in off the bench. Maybe they don't deserve to have stuff run for them in the view of the way the offense is and whatever else. But you don't have one guy who you're like, I'm going to go try to ride this guy and he's going to get these minutes. I think he's just searching at this point. And so that's why you see a Banks who had not played for, I don't even know how many games before he, I think it was the Ohio State game that he, you know, was able to, you know, come in and contribute, but hadn't played for a long time since then. And I think it's just a sign of really grasping and trying to hope that you can find somebody to work. But when you got this, you know, batch of 5-6 guys that you're just hoping one of them is clicking on a given night, it's hard to tell if anybody's clicking on a given night the way that your offense is so structured around Trace and Jalen, which for a lot of reasons makes some sense. It just makes it really hard to discern night to night if you're really going to get anything out of these guys. And if you are going to get something out of them, which one or ones is it going to be? And more often than not lately, it's ended up being nobody. And so, you know, having X back, if you think about at the beginning of the year when Galloway's coming off the bench, you know, you kind of know what you're getting from him as he, you know, as he comes into the game. Now you don't have that luxury. He was the one guy who you really could kind of pencil in and know what you were going to get. So I think it's, and really at this point, you got 3 games left in a regular season. It is what it is at this point. You're not going to figure that out. And maybe you catch lightning in a bottle with somebody on a game to game basis and figure it out from there. But that doesn't really seem likely based on the way that it's gone. But you do have a couple home games at the end. So maybe that's there. You're going to need some of that in the Big Ten tournament. You saw some of that from Geronimo down the stretch last year where he was able to really step up in some of those games. Do you get somebody to step in and fill those roles? Maybe, but your guess is as good as mine as to who that's going to be based on how those guys have been used and how they've played.
Coach Woodson gets it. Last year he had the 5-man subs and none of us liked it. And now he's gone to basically a 6-man rotation. And now we don't like that either.
It's all about balance, Coach.
He's got to find the sweet spot.
Right.
There's still a lot of room to explore in there between 6.
It honestly, you play 8 guys, but you got to give them a little more run at times. And it's a tough thing because you want to win, but you got to give some, you know, extended minutes at times. And you know, it's just a tough situation that coach is in right now because the bench guys aren't producing got to figure that out soon.
I love how Ryan just desperately wants to go get to his cereal and get to his beauty rest. And so he's in the chat. We should wind this down for Andy's sake.
Well, it's late for Andy. It's 12:30. I figure he's got.
What time zone is Coach in?
Coach and I are in the same time zone, right?
Well, yeah, but what's Coach got? Coach loves being here. Coach is. Yeah. Andy's always like, guys, wow. Go.
I'm not sure which of us should take more offense, to be honest. I don't really know.
All right. Well, the other lingering question is, what is this team going to look like in West Lafayette? You know, I mean, obviously that is a very tough place to play. Indiana played well there last year, you know, didn't get off to a great start, but really played well in the second half and darn near pulled that game out. That was obviously with X. And I don't think X is going to play in that game. From everything we've heard, the expectation is to hopefully try to get him some minutes, those final 2 home games. So I wouldn't expect him. But I don't know. I mean, Coach, as you kind of look ahead to that game, which, you know, obviously it'll be nice to get a few extra days of rest. Hopefully that helps, gets, you know, get guys, you know, maybe their legs back and go up there and play a good refreshed 40 minutes. And you're expecting probably to lose. That's the most likely outcome, but give yourself a chance in the end, you know, and see what happens.
One of the things I think this team has shown is the ability to bounce back. 3-game losing streak, they turn it around. Bad performance at Maryland, they turn it around. A disappointing loss, come back and win. It hasn't always been pretty, but they've done that. And I thought even today, I thought they were trying to reach down into their tank and find something. They got back to, you mentioned, 53-48. I think this team doesn't quit, and that's a positive leaving. Even, I mean, they played bad tonight, but they keep trying. So I think they're going to have a great effort. I think Purdue's going to be focused. That place is going to be absolutely bonkers, wanting to pay us back for the previous victory. I think it's a very, very tough ask for Indiana to go in there and win. Do I think it's possible? Yes, you're going to have a lot better performance than tonight. But if you can't get up for Purdue, and that's one where if your tank's a little bit half empty or only a quarter full of gas, that you can probably find enough to muster a great effort when you play your rival, especially in that environment. So I expect a better effort. I do think it'll be tough to win, but I think this team has shown the ability to bounce back, and so I don't know that they'll have two clunkers in a row. And if they do, you got two games at home to finish off the season. This has been a good season, given all of the injuries and things that have happened, to be in a position to be a 4 or 5 seed going into the tournament with the injuries is just a remarkable thing for coach and players to accomplish. So try to keep that in mind as well.
Quick look ahead. Thursday, the Doing the Work crew is going to do a show before Assembly Call Radio to preview IU Iowa, which is now no longer a game for sole possession of first place in the Big Ten. It is a coronation for your outright Big Ten champion, Indiana Hoosiers. So they're going to talk about that. And then we are going to have Assembly Call Radio this week. There's no women's game, so we will have the show. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about IU Purdue. We may have a guest from behind enemy lines to come on and kind of give the Purdue side of things. So be on the lookout for that. And then obviously on Saturday, we have the postgame show after IU Purdue. And then we'll have Doing the Work here on Sunday after Indiana plays Iowa. So with that said, let's go to some final thoughts and let's, you know, just kind of flush this one and move on. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of value in lingering on this one too much. Hopefully we see better play starting on Saturday. Andy, we will go to you first for your final thought so that you can get out of here at Ryan's behest.
I should really let Coach go first.
I love it here.
But he loves being here, and I apparently do not. So
yeah, go to Field of 68, Andy. Do some bracketology over there, why don't you? Yeah.
That's a good show, by the way.
It is a good show.
I did some errands around the house listening to you, Andy, on Monday. It was quite enjoyable.
I'm glad to hear it. I think this.
You're a man of integrity.
I mean, now you're laying it on pretty thick.
So that's bullshit.
So I think you look at this, even outside of the circumstances at Michigan State, and it's a tough game to win. That adds a little bit to it, and. It just was not a game that IU had a lot of juice in, unfortunately, to really get him over the hump. And I thought, like Coach said, you know, I found myself sitting there and it's like they somehow cut it to 5, seemingly against all odds, and we're just hanging around. And that's a testament to them not really giving up, but they just wasted too many opportunities and made too many turnovers other times. And that was really something that when this team has played poorly, we've come on here and said that over and over again. Those are when the turnovers crop up. Those are when the turnovers come at times when you've got a chance to extend a lead and it takes that opportunity away from you. And some of the defensive issues from the worst performances of the season cropped up again. And just that is not a recipe to win in East Lansing. It's not a recipe to win at a tournament level team. And it's pretty much what we saw tonight. Like I said, I think the biggest downside of this, other than, you know, losing itself, was you weren't getting beat by enough to really take Trace out and let him sit more in the second half. He still ended up playing 35 minutes, kind of kept it at a margin where you couldn't just totally throw in the towel, but I think we all felt like we kind of knew what was going to happen at some point. So I think you're going to, given the games that this team has had, the physicality of those games and the amount that they've relied on a couple players, it really wasn't a question of if, but when. And now the question is how long, and how long does that set in? I am a lot like Coach and feel like this team's been pretty resilient both inside and inside of games and from game to game over the course of the season. I think if ever there was one that give you a little bit of juice, if you needed it, it would be playing at Purdue and you have the chance to get a sweep over them. So I don't really see that being an issue. I don't think the how long is, you know, a multiple week, you know, multiple weeks is not the answer, but Certainly tonight, this looked like a pretty tired basketball team that just didn't have a lot of answers. And I think we can be, I think we've seen enough from them. I think everybody feels, at least should feel relatively confident in their ability to bounce back. Doesn't mean they're going to win at Purdue, but I think you'll see a better effort and a little bit more focus on that end of things. And then you get to close things out at home, and that's always exciting, and give the team a chance to hopefully build a little momentum heading into the Big Ten tournament and see from there. I think more than half of the league at this point has 7 losses. So projecting what the seeding in the Big Ten tournament is certainly not something that I will even attempt to do at 12:40 a.m. today or any day in the near future. So we'll just kind of wait and see how it plays out. But hoping for a bounce back, kind of flush this one and move on.
Coach?
Yeah, this team is when it plays well, it's just really good. And then it's either really good or really bad. Inside games from game to game, whatever. And they need to find some consistency and level that play out. Down 20 at Northwestern, then an outstanding comeback, falls short. Down 11 against Illinois, makes a big run. And to some extent, that's college basketball. It's a game of runs. You see that a lot in when you watch a lot of college basketball. But this team really is up or down, and they need to just find some offense. I'm just really concerned. You know, this was a one-off defensively. They've been pretty consistent defensively since Penn State, so I think they found that. But the trend right now offensively is downward in scoring in the mid-60s, and that is a concern of if that can be corrected and head back up. And it's going to need to be to play well in the postseason.
How come every time we lose – by the time we get here an hour and 20 minutes in, the chat mob always devolves into a conversation about Kelvin Sampson. This always happens. What's going on? How do we always get on this subject after a loss?
The witching hour is upon us. Yes, we need.
It really is.
This is the only answer.
Ryan's muted. He's making some great point about Kelvin, and now he's muted.
Oh, I was just helping you out. No, I was saying we need shorter shows because it happens every time.
Yes, I know. I don't know. It's different people. Just always the subject ends up coming up.
Yeah.
All right. Give us your final thought, Ryan.
You know, tonight was ostensibly just a basketball game, but it was so much more to Michigan State. And I think that showed in the fans, in the players who played, you know, once they settled into the game, played like that meant something. It really meant something to them. And, you know, this is something where this kind of stuff, we're seeing it just way too often. And we're having to do these, you know, wearing a shirt that says, you know, whatever university, whatever their mascot is, strong, and everybody comes out and everybody's really sad about it. And I'm not going to go off on some tangent about guns, but I just think it's a really sad situation for everybody. And quite frankly, it was really hard to root against Michigan State tonight. I rooted for Indiana, but it was hard to root against Michigan State. And I'm happy for them for winning this game. And I hope they go on a really long run to honor the victims of that shooting. And I hope those students found some comfort tonight in being able to just go out and be college students for a couple hours because it's horrifying what happened on that campus last week and what happens on campuses all over this country. So on a regular basis, whether it's high school, college, whatever. So just, you know, they're in our thoughts tonight because tomorrow they have to go back on that campus as students, you know, a week after something terrible happened. And so, again, kudos to them for showing up for their community tonight and winning that game. Kudos for Indiana for supporting them as well and wearing those shirts and being right there with them. I hope Michigan State goes on a run, man. I mean, I don't want to beat Indiana again, but I really do hope they get it together, go on a run and can honor those victims.
Yeah, I did an interview with a Michigan State podcast, the Locked On Spartans podcast, and that was basically, you know, kind of my final thought at the end of that, which is, you know, look, Indiana's playing a basketball game, and so I want Indiana to win. But if Michigan State ends up winning, honestly, not going to be that upset because of what it's going to mean. And Trace has, you know, been great about putting things in perspective and talking about how, even in the midst of playing the best basketball of his life, talking about how, you know, there are bigger things than basketball, you know, whether it's his relationship with his rivals or, you know, this, you know, with Michigan State. And so I agree with you, Ryan. It felt to me all along like this was a game Michigan State probably wasn't going to lose to anybody, you know, and Indiana was there and Indiana didn't play very well. But honestly, I mean, it's such a secondary or tertiary storyline coming out of tonight. It's just the one we focus on because that's what we do on this postgame show. But your thoughts are, well said. And I think, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot and this was something we were dealing with as an Indiana family, we would want to have the other schools supporting us, like folks have been supporting Michigan State. So, you know, the last thing I'll say about our team, you know, I know some folks don't like, you know, talking about mental and physical fatigue. Let's be clear about this. It's not an excuse to be used for the rest of the season. It's just, I think, a reflection of the reality of what we're watching. But now that we know this, I mean, it's up to the players to figure this out. It's up to the coaching staff to figure this out, whether it's changing up what you do for practice and, you know, whatever it takes, other guys stepping up to take some of the load off. All we're giving you is what we're seeing and trying to explain the reasons for some of the play that we're seeing. But it doesn't mean that now, oh, well, I guess for the rest of the season, you know, that's just going to be an excuse and they can't be expected to overcome it. Oh, no, they need to, all of them. Or you'll see more losses like this. But as Coach said, I think it's fair right now, based on the full body of work of this team, to believe in their ability to bounce back and to believe in their ability to kind of fight through this wall and get on the other side of it and be ready to play, you know, good basketball again. That's certainly what I'm hoping. I know that's what you're hoping. And hopefully we see it as soon as Saturday up in West Lafayette. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thank you to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. Special thank you to John Ringer of rigdesign.com for designing our logo. And thank you for listening. We'll be back on Thursday to talk IU hoops again with you for AC Radio. Until then,
take it from me, Jordan Halls. Keep your elbow in and your eyes on the rim. And go Hoosiers.
All right, I got to get out of here, folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
Here I come, Mrs. Stansoni.
Brian's being stupid again.
I always love Jordan's keep your elbow in.
Elbow in.
Because he only kept one elbow in.
That's right.
All right.
Oh, gosh.
Hour and a half later. I think we beat that one to death.
Yeah, we did.
Just beat Purdue. Just go beat Purdue. That'd be so great, man.
That would be great. That would be the perfect way to bounce back. But really, go play 40 good minutes of basketball against.
Yeah, honestly.
There's a way to come out of that game happy and feeling like things are back on the right track, even if you don't win the game. I mean, the goal is to win the game, Herm Edwards, all that, but, you know.
High pressure. High pressure those guards.
Yeah.
High pressure those guards.
Good track.
All right, guys, go to bed.
Yeah, I guess we should.
Will do.
Not the commenters. You guys can stay up as late as you want. But
hey, Coach, I have a point to kick around with you if you want to hang around for 5 more minutes.
He's muted.
He's muted.
Well, me and Coach do that all the time.
He's fake muted.
I'm going to stay here all night. I like it here.
He does love it.
All right, live stream. All night live stream.
I'm going to give my students. I'm going to give my students the link to watch, and just teach from here tomorrow.
Okay. Good night, Andy.
Oh, what do you got, Jared? Good night, Andy.
I'm gonna get your thoughts on this because I saw someone in the chat talking about how, okay, well, you know, Zach Edey has the same type of pressure that Trace does, and he's handling it. And I, you know, obviously there's some truth to that. I mean, Zach Edey has a huge, heavy burden for Purdue. I guess the difference is, and this is where I want you to tell me if I'm, you know, being too soft or making excuses or whatever. I do think it's a different situation for two reasons. One, you know, the game that Trace is being able to or being asked to play requires a lot more just body movement. You know, Zach Edey runs up and down the court, but he, for the most part, stays still, you know, and blocks shots and rebounds and scores because he's just so big. And I don't say that to take anything away from him. He uses what he's got to be good at basketball. But Trace is all about movement and mobility, both defensively and offensively. So he's expending more energy. And also, he's got more pressure on him offensively because he's not just asked to be a scorer. He's asked to be a facilitator. And Zach Edey's role on offense is much simple. You know, go down there and score. And so I don't think it's, to me, it's not as analogous. And it's a reason why I think you see a guy like Trace wearing down mentally and physically. Because I'm just not sure I don't know that maybe we, even us, properly understand how much pressure is on him on a possession-by-possession basis. And it truly is remarkable, I think, how well he's played with all that pressure. But that's just why I think that comparison between those two guys, it doesn't quite hold the same for me. Now, I guess you could argue, well, Zach Edey's bigger, and so, you know, the minutes, you know, so whatever. But I just think they play different games.
It is a different game. It's a post-up or a little zoom action. He dribble, hands off, and then he goes rebounds. Where Trace is doing some other things in his athleticism, he'll come from the free throw lane and do some things where Edey just uses his big long arms to block shots.
Yeah.
So there's some physicality there, but they also rest Edey. I mean, Edey comes out about the 14-15 minute mark of the first half and gets 2 or 3 minutes. Then he'll come out again in the first half and get 2 or 3 minutes, and they pace him inside of games.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I'm not talking about cutting him underneath 30 or 32 minutes, but get him 32 or 33 minutes, maybe 34 minutes, but 6 minutes a game, it adds up. Yep. When you play 39, 40 minutes over and over and over and over and over again with the expectations. The other thing where I think you're absolutely correct is there's more options at Purdue. And Painter will go to more options. Mason Gillis hits 2 threes. He runs 4 more plays for Mason Gillis, and Mason Gillis hits 9. And that gives a little bit of a breather of the responsibility of scoring. But almost every possession is Trace Jackson Davis, unless the point guard comes up and shoots it before it goes into Trace Jackson Davis. So, again, that's that making those decisions on double teams. Do I drive? Do I, you know, do those things? I think you're absolutely correct that he's more involved in almost every possession, even though Edey's usage rate is probably pretty solid too. If you looked at the KenPom numbers and all that, they go through Edey quite a bit as well. And I thought you saw Edey wear down in the last 2 or 3 games. I thought he didn't play very well. And I saw an interview with him, I think on the Field of 68 afterwards, and he's like, yeah, I just got to get back to doing some things. And it can wear on, you know, when you're the stud on a team, you can't afford to have a bad night, because everyone will talk about it. That is a lot of mental and physical pressure. And you know, it's easy for people to sit back, and when you're not doing it game in and game out, when you got the best players in the world taking double nights off, right, in load management in the NBA, can't even go to an NBA game or schedule an NBA game because you don't know if the star is going to play. So, you know, the days of playing 82 games are over in the pros. You're going to play 60 probably if you're a big-time player, 60 or 70. So I think that's something that's just maybe hard for people to understand. And it's just a catch-22, because why wouldn't you want to ride TJD? He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not high volume for Trace Jackson Davis?
And you know, but he doesn't want to come out.
So. There's a nuance in that, too, is that you want every one of his touches to be as efficient as possible. So sometimes less touches with more efficiency is better than absolutely every touch or every possession with some, you know, because he gets down and out when he turns the ball over or when he doesn't score on a post-up. And then you got to deal with that as well, the ups and downs within the game. You know, that kid comes in and blocks his shot. That's got to be frustrating for him at the end of the half. And all of that stuff adds up and adds up and adds up and adds up. And I think maybe that's part of X not being there too, is the responsibility for scoring now is on both of those. And you're seeing Hood Schifino take some tough shots and Trace Jackson Davis take some. You're seeing the offense the last 5 games. They've really done a great job in winning 9 out of 12 and put a lot out there. But I think you're absolutely correct.
And look, I fully expect Trace to bounce back against Purdue.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but it's just, you know, what you don't, I think what I'm afraid of, here's the thing, I think what I'm afraid of, what I think a lot of people are afraid of is, you know, getting to an NCAA tournament, you know, round of 32 game, and it looks like tonight, where you're just like, this is not the team we've seen, you know? And like, I just want to see these guys play their best, be able to put it out there, and let's see how far that can take us. And so you watch a game like tonight, and you're like, man, this isn't the guy that we've seen. So I want to see him get back to that, you know, and we're here trying to figure out solutions, and you know the staff.
But Jared's, my concern has been the last 4 games. We've been fortunate to win a couple. Rutgers, we played well in the first half and then coasted. The Purdue game, you got to give credit to Purdue. I think they're really good. And so the second half, Purdue won, like we won the first half. But I thought the Rutgers game was really bad in the second half. The Michigan game, we get down and have to fight our way back. And then the Northwestern game, we get down 20. So you had pieces of the same thing happen at that game. And I thought we were to sleep against Illinois. And then tonight we came off, and even though we were up, 22-13, I wrote down at the, 6-minute mark, this is sloppy.
Yeah.
You know, I think Michigan State missed some shots.
We should have been up by a lot more.
Yeah, Andy mentioned it. You missed those opportunities to stretch the lead. It was just sloppy defensively and offensively, and it caught up to Indiana. But now that's 4 or 5 games in a row where you've had maybe a half of good basketball. And so then you got to think, you know, you're not going to play perfect for 40 minutes, but what is the what would constitute a good all-around game from start to finish where you get beat, but you didn't have those wild swings. We just have wild swings in our play, which is concerning for that very reason. Like, who's going to play them? Like, do you want to win in the Big Ten tournament? Like, if you play 3 games in a row and then you play on Thursday – and you got to fly out on Tuesday.
Look at us, assuming we might win in the Big Ten tournament. I know what you mean, though. I know what you mean. It's those minutes add up, you know? And I guess that's the other thing. And I suppose, you know, so much about a college basketball season, because the sample sizes are so small, is you can't really contextualize things until the next thing happens, you know? And I guess... Yeah. You know, that's the other thing you wonder about. It's like, in all these individual circumstances, in a lot of these individual circumstances, the Michigan game, the Northwestern game, the Illinois game, it's made sense in this case to put us in the best position to win this game while you make that decision. Right. You just wonder, are we going to look back on this and be like, boy, we won a few battles in the regular season, but we lost the war because we were dead by the time we got to the tournament. And so that's where these next few games are so critical. You know, can you still pick up some wins, but make sure that you're fresh and firing on all cylinders when you get to the tournament? That's what we want to see. And so if there's a little panic, it's just because, you know, I still have high hopes for this team. You know, I believe in this team, and I want Trace to go out, you know, with as much team success as possible, because that's going to help contextualize his individual achievements. So
hopefully it's just turned out to be... The roster is not what we thought it would be with injuries to Race. He's clearly not producing at the level that he was at the beginning of the year. And it's not because of effort. It's just because of that injury. You have X out.
Yeah.
Tamar hasn't progressed. Geronimo hasn't progressed. So the roster we thought, or maybe had up through the North Carolina game, has not necessarily progressed. And so credit goes to this team for being in this position with a not ideal 7-8 man rotation. It's actually kind of impressive that we're sitting here as a 4 seed in the reveal, probably still a 4 seed. We lose to Purdue. We're probably going to, even though those are quad 1 wins, you know, but it's impressive, to be honest, the fight that this team's had, because really, besides the 2 studs, who's playing well? Galloway occasionally, Kopp occasionally. So you got 4 guys. Who am I missing?
I think those 2 guys are playing fairly well. They just don't get a lot of opportunities offensively. So it doesn't always show in the box score. But I think they're filling their roles pretty well. You know, that's where you need.
I agree.
That's where you need the bench guys to be able to step in and score so that you could rest Jalen and Trace. You know,
but Race had a good game last game, but he struggled.
Yeah.
Geronimo's struggling. Tamar's struggling, so there's your 5, 6, 7 without X, right?
Yeah.
Am I missing any? Renew hasn't been what he was at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So there's your 4 guys after your top 4 are playing their roles or are being really great in the 2 studs. Then the other 4 have just hit that plateau and maybe even regressed a little bit, and we're still winning. 9 out of 12, 75%. That just speaks volumes for Trace, Hood Shafino, Coach Woodson, all of that. And they all probably need to do a little bit more to make sure that it gets better.
Yep. Agreed. All right, let's go get some rest, Coach. We'll be back here. Some combination of us will be back here Thursday. And then, of course, we'll be back here Saturday for what will hopefully be a fun postgame show.
I will be at the game Saturday. So
that's right.
You will be here Saturday. Yep.
Very nice. It should be a fun atmosphere to watch basketball in.
It'll suck. I'll hate it because a bunch of pinheads in there.
Pencil necks, as Miller Kopp might say.
Pencil necks. Mm-hmm. It's so bad. Like, Jared, I get the back row of the media, and these guys, they're not bad, but every call, oh, my gosh. Like, the basketball intelligence in that building is not very good. The atmosphere is great, and kudos, they have a good team. But, man, other than my man Braggs, there's not too much basketball knowledge in that building. I think I know 5 Purdue fans who know basketball out of 12,000 or whatever it seats. Dang. It's, of all the places, like, I gotta teach 20 minutes down the road, and they give us media passes. Like, why couldn't it be somewhere else? God.
It's a great note to end on.
Yeah, and then I got Jay calling me a Purdue fan. Or, in you. Man. It's hell living up here. You know, you've been through it.
I spent 6 years up there. I did.
Mm-hmm. Wonder what my heart's beating. Got my heart monitor on. It's probably.
I hate it.
I do, man. I told you I wore my candy stripes to school. Yeah. Didn't say a word. Didn't say anything to anyone. Just walked in with my candy stripes after we beat them. Boy, were they all whiny baby. Well, how long are you going to celebrate this? You got 24 hours for. I didn't say a word. I just taught. I just walked in the cafeteria with my coffee. And all the AD and everyone, oh, look at that asshole wearing a candy stripe. It was the best morning I ever had, Jared, up here at Delphi. Like, they were so, they don't even know how to win well. You know, like, you're the best team in the Big Ten. You lost. Swallow it. Ignore the guy in candy stripes. No, your officials. I mean, much of. It's 1 o'clock.
All right, because there's some gold right there.
Good night.
All right, good night, Coach. Good night, everybody.